Willard was hungover and shaky and sitting by himself on one of the back benches in the Coal Creek Church of the Holy Ghost Sanctified. It was nearly 7:30 on a Thursday evening, but the service hadn't started yet. It was the fourth night of the church's annual week-long revival, aimed mostly at backsliders and those who hadn't been saved yet. Willard had been home over a week, and this was the first day he'd drawn a sober breath. Last night, he and Erskine had gone to the Lewis Theater to see John Wayne in Back to Bataan. He walked out halfway through the movie, disgusted with the phoniness of it all, ended up in a fight at the pool hall down the street. He roused himself and looked around, flexed his sore hand. Emma was still up front visiting. Smoky lanterns hung along the walls. A dented wood stove sat halfway down the aisle off to the right. The pine benches were worn smooth by over 20 years of worship. Though the church was the same humble place it had always been, Willard was afraid that he had changed quite a bit since he had been overseas. Reverend Albert Sykes had started the church in 1924, shortly after a coal mine collapsed and trapped him in the dark with two other men who'd been killed instantly. Both of his legs had been broken in several places. He managed to reach a pack of Five Brothers chewing tobacco in Phil Drury's pocket, but he couldn't stretch far enough to grab hold of the butter and jam sandwich he knew Burl Meadows was carrying in his coat. He said he was touched by the Spirit on the third night. He realized he was going to soon join the men beside him, already putrid with the smell of death, but it didn't matter anymore. A few hours later, the rescuers broke through the rubble while he was asleep. For a moment, he was convinced that the light they shined in his eyes was the face of the Lord. It was a good story to tell in church, and there were always a lot of hallelujahs when he came to that part. Willard figured he'd heard the old preacher tell it 100 times over the years, limping back and forth in front of the varnished pulpit. At the end of the story, he always pulled the empty Five Brothers pack out of his threadbare suit coat, held it up toward the ceiling, cradled in the palms of his hands. He carried it with him everywhere. Many of the women around Coal Creek, especially those who still had husbands and sons in the mines, treated it like a religious relic, kissing it whenever they got a chance. It was a fact that Mary Ellen Thompson, on her deathbed, had asked for it to be brought to her instead of the doctor. Willard watched his mother talking to a thin woman wearing wire-rimmed glasses set crooked on her long, slender face, a faded blue bonnet tied under her pointy chin. After a couple of minutes, Emma grabbed the woman's hand and led her back to where Willard was sitting.
"I asked Helen to sit with us," Emma told her son.
He stood up and let them in, and as the girl passed by him, the odor of old sweat made his eyes water. She carried a worn leather Bible, kept her head down when Emma introduced her. Now he understood why his mother had been going on for the last few days about why good looks were not all that important. He would agree that was true in most cases, that the spirit was more important than the flesh. But hell, even his Uncle Erskine washed his armpits once in a while. Because the church had no bell, Reverend Sykes went to the open door when it was time for the service to start, and shouted to those still loitering outside with their cigarettes and gossip and doubts. A small choir, 2 men and 3 women, stood up and sang, "Sinner, you'd better get ready." Then Sykes went to the pulpit. He looked out over the crowd, wiped the sweat off his brow with a white handkerchief. There were 58 people sitting on the benches. He'd counted twice. The Reverend wasn't a greedy man, but he was counting on the basket bringing in maybe $3 or $4 tonight. He and his wife had been eating nothing but hardtack and warbled squirrel meat for the past week.
"Phew, it's hot," he said with a grin. "But it's bound to get hotter, ain't that right? Especially for them that ain't right with the Lord."
"Amen," someone said.
"Surely is," said another.
"Well,"
Sykes went on,
We gonna take care of that shortly. These two boys from over around Topperville gonna lead the service tonight, and from what everyone tells me, they got a good message."
He glanced at the two strangers sitting in the shadows off to the side of the altar, hidden from the congregation by a frayed black curtain.
"Brother Roy and Brother Theodore, get on over here and help us save some lost souls," he said,
motioning them forward with his hand.